will resist the urge to talk March Madness and focus on fantasy football for the most part. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, no Dave Richard today. Where's Dave?
Dave is in lovely Houston, Texas. I think he's actually in Galveston, enjoying time with his parents, his family. I think his kids are on spring break.
Do you wish you were in Arlington?
Do I wish I was in Arlington? No, I'd be too nervous.
With the Florida Gators, both of our teams are in the Sweet 16. How about that? Neither of us went to Florida Gulf Coast. But your team's playing Florida Gulf Coast. Better watch out. Let me tell you something about Florida Gulf Coast.
Tell me something about Florida Gulf Coast.
They're very cocky.
Wouldn't you be at this point?
They're like America's darlings, but they're not the most gracious winners.
They have nothing to lose.
Yeah, they do have nothing to lose. How's the bracket?
Speaking of which, your team is pretty cocky, too.
Miami?
Throughout the course of the season.
Absolutely not.
Oh, come on.
Why? Because they slapped the floor?
That's right.
That's ridiculous. Get over it.
Floor slappers.
Well, our brackets are doing well. I actually knew that from our pre-podcast talk. I know you're all interested. We have our Final Fours intact and most of our Elite Eight. It is Tuesday, March 26th, and we'll read some emails later. A bit of a mailbag show today. Fantasyfootball at CBSI.com. That's the letter I, fantasyfootball at CBSI.com. Follow us on Twitter at Jamie Eisenberg.
I have a very important question.
Uh-huh.
Who's going to come up with the cities?
Ooh. You've traveled a lot more than I have.
I don't know if that's accurate. You know, you with your au pair, you probably have gone all around the world.
I don't remember those days, though. I was exposed to those cultures at a very, very early age, but I've forgotten everything. So, at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y, at Dave Richard, at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, at CBS Fantasy FB.
I also want to give our privileged podcast listeners who also watch our videos, because you bought a new shirt yesterday, or you wore a new shirt yesterday, that I can't
wait. Such a good shirt.
I can't wait for it to make its debut, because it is horrendous.
It's such a good shirt.
It rivals...
No, it doesn't, Jamie.
It rivals the cowboy shirt.
Here's the thing. You have zero fashion sense. It's like
You even said when we went to Walmart, when you went to go buy your shorts, I remember this distinctly, because you said, I got to buy new shirts. And you said to me and Nando,
yeah,
I want to buy shirts just like you guys, because I really like the way you guys dress. That's exactly
that.
What you said.
To Nando. To Nando.
You guys? You guys.
I don't know if I said
you
that.
You guys is exactly what you said.
I was
yeah,
being nice.
Yeah, here you go, Walmart. Let's go.
But you don't know. You don't have any fashion sense. The people that have fashion sense liked what I wore yesterday.
I have a thousand times more fashion sense than you do, Cowboy Bill.
No, that's not true.
So let's
go. Like my shirt today.
Today's shirt is good. Yesterday's shirt, horrendous.
All right, we got injuries, news, and notes to talk about. Jamie has a couple of sleepers for 2013, and then we'll get into the emails. Maurice Jones-Drew thinks he can get 2,000 yards this year, and he had a Lisfranc injury.
Well, that was the injury that he dealt with last year, was determined to be a Lisfranc injury. It was actually a good story in Sports Illustrated, where they spent time with Maurice Jones-Drew in his dorm room, his freshman dorm room at UCLA, where he is completing his degree, I believe, in history. He is rehabbing at UCLA, where he went to college. Clearly, he's got lofty goals. For him to get 2,000 yards, I assumed it was 2,000 rushing yards. I don't think he would be talking about 2,000 total yards, because he's probably capable of that if he plays 16 games. But the key is, you know, when Dave actually did this update, he read the story, and I said to Dave, 2,000 yards, is he kidding? Is he talking about the rest of his career? And Dave said, you know, I'd gamble on him in round three. I don't think he'll be there in round three if he practices in training camp and gets on the field. But if he's not, there's no chance I'm touching Maurice Jones-Drew. And as we talked about on the last podcast when we were going over guys like Steven Jackson and Reggie Bush, I would take those guys with a lot more confidence at this point, if we're drafting right now, than Maurice Jones-Drew. Just coming back from the Lisfranc injury just really makes me nervous.
Because he's going to get hurt, or because you don't think he's that good?
I just
anymore?
Don't think he'll rebound to that level again. Just concerns me.
I'm going to tell you, I don't know that much about football, but I do know that Maurice Jones-Drew is not rushing for 2,000 yards
I would
next
agree.
Year. Now, if he says total yards, I would go under, but... It's not ridiculous.
He's capable of 2,000 total yards if he's healthy.
Yeah.
In that offense.
Would you take the over or under there? Let's say he plays 16 games.
I would take the under, just because, again, I don't trust the Lisfranc. Somebody that I'm staying away from if I have the opportunity to. You know, if he falls to me in the right spot, I'll gamble on him, like, you know, round three if he's practicing. But I don't think, you know, based on name recognition and the fact if he's on the field, you're not going to get him in round three.
All right. Carson Palmer is the Raiders quarterback for now. Do you think that will be the case going forward?
I believe, if I remember the stats correctly, he played 14 games last year. Of those 14 games, he reached 18 fantasy points 10 times. So he actually wasn't he wasn't bad as a fantasy quarterback, but he threw an interception in 11 of those 14 games. The turnovers were a problem. They lose Darius Heyward-Bey. They did not upgrade that position. You know, they're going with Rod Streeter as their starter. And Dennis Allen spoke highly of Rod Streeter, so there's some opportunity there for him if you're looking for a sleeper. I don't expect Carson Palmer to be the starter. The writing's on the wall right now. He's not going to take a pay cut. He's due a lot of money. I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. This is where Dave and his laptop would come in handy. They're not going to pay him what he's owed. And it's really interesting. When I was out in Phoenix, I was talking with Will Brinson, one of our bloggers out there. And it looks like the Raiders could be in the market for Geno Smith in the first round, which would be interesting because then they would have committed two first-round picks or a first and a second for Carson Palmer, a first-round pick for Geno Smith, and whatever they drafted Terrell Pryor with. You know, so basically four draft picks for three quarterbacks, one of which would not be on – or two of those picks, one quarterback would not be on the roster potentially if they do go get Geno Smith. I would like to see Terrell Pryor as a starter for the Raiders because I think there's some opportunity there, some upside – just based on what we've seen from some of these mobile quarterbacks who can throw a little bit. And he wasn't bad in that game against the Chargers last year when he did get the chance to start. Had 49 rushing yards and a touchdown, two passing touchdowns. The passing percentage wasn't, you know, completion percentage wasn't very good. But I do think for their offense, it would be interesting to see what Terrell Pryor could do. And I think that's a better fantasy option. Geno Smith would obviously be very good if he gets a chance to start. You know, same type of quarterback, clearly. But Palmer, you just kind of know what you're getting at this point. You know, he's really a number two guy, whereas Pryor could creep into that conversation maybe as a top 15 quarterback.
You know, Jamie, Dave's not the only one with a laptop.
Yeah, here. DJ Milk.
So one thing I thought I knew, one thing I did actually know, I knew that Terrell Pryor was a third round supplemental draft pick.
Yep.
Would have gotten that one right. $13 million for Carson Palmer.
For next year.
I thought it was 12. Yeah, mm-hmm. $13 million. So I don't know how you can justify paying him $13 million.
I agree. The other part of this would be if he did released, Arizona seems to be in the market for him. And that'd be a great fit because Bruce Arians can take a veteran quarterback. Obviously would help Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. Where would that elevate him?
I don't think it would elevate Fitzgerald much higher than where we have him right now, which is in, you know, the top 20 receivers, because it's still Carson Palmer. It's not like he's getting a Peyton Manning. Remember, you know, the thought last year was Manning may go to Arizona. But definitely that would be a huge upgrade. Larry Fitzgerald was actually the seventh most targeted receiver last year, the 38th fantasy receiver. So clearly he did not match up with what his target production was. As Nathan likes to say, his target conversion rate was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they get a guy like Carson Palmer, that would definitely help Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, JerMichael Finley is staying with the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, which means he is still on the cusp of a top 12 fantasy tight end. He's somebody that's interesting because, you know, you look at contract year. It's going to be a contract year. He signed a two-year deal prior to last season. Clearly a disappointment, but there's an opportunity there. You know, you got to look at Greg Jennings' absence. As much as it helps Randall Cobb, James Jones, and Jordy Nelson, it also helps JerMichael Finley because they go from really five options now to four. And Finley is somebody clearly that they've liked to, you know, throw the ball to, especially the way he finished the season last year. Didn't score a lot of touchdowns, but his catches and his yards are pretty good. So Finley's somebody that'll be on my radar.
Yeah.
Dave was talking about Jared Cook. And kind of, you know, if you miss on tight end, that's a guy that you look at. I still would take somebody like JerMichael Finley over Jared Cook because I'll always favor quarterback in that situation. You know, so JerMichael Finley's going to be in that conversation with Cook, with Pettigrew, with Gresham, with Martellus Bennett, you know, with his move to Chicago. I still think that Finley, though, has a little bit of an edge just based on talent and quarterback.
Who's your favorite, though, of that group? You like Finley better than Bennett and Cook and all those guys?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe Gresham, I would take him over those guys just because, you know, we saw a little bit of a progression from him, and I think he's still heading in the right direction. But, again, it's hard to get away from the guy who's catching passes from Aaron Rodgers, and that's JerMichael Finley.
Yes, it is. And Fred Jackson, what's the latest on him?
Well, he says his knee is ready to go. Whether or not he'll be, you know, starting, that's something that I hope we don't see. But the better he is, the sort of the little bit of the luster takes off of C.J. Spiller because, you know, Fred Jackson's still going to play a role. Now, there is still some thought that they could get rid of him. They haven't made that move yet. But if he comes back to Buffalo as expected and he's sharing carries with C.J. Spiller, you know, he's someone still to put on your radar. You know, we talked last week about guys like Mykal Ashour and Sean Green. You know, Fred Jackson's in that mix with those guys. You know, not necessarily because he's going to score the touchdowns there, because I don't know if they're necessarily going to take C.J. Spiller off the field. But Jackson's still going to play a role. You know, he's going to get his carries. He's going to get his opportunities. You got to worry about injuries with Jackson, because 2 years in a row now, he wasn't able to finish the season. Clearly at 32, his body is starting to break down from NFL standards. But late round pick, you know, if he's there and you're sort of looking for key reserve, a mid to late round pick, you know, Jackson's not a bad guy to put on your roster, because, again, we haven't seen C.J. Spiller go a full season as the starter there and the number one guy.
Jordan Cameron in Cleveland, speaking of tight ends, what do you think about him?
You know, it's interesting, and I know Nando sort of pointed this out last year with Brandon Myers and what Greg, I get them confused, Greg Olson, I believe, was the guy there. Greg Knapp was the guy there last year. Greg Olson's the guy there now. Greg Knapp's role with tight ends, and we've talked about Greg Olson, not to get it confused, but Greg Olson, the tight end for Carolina, and how good he was with Rob Trudzinski, the head, the offense coordinator for Carolina. You look at Trudzinski's history and North Turner, the offense coordinator, Antonio Gates in San Diego, Kellen Winslow in Cleveland for Trudzinski as the offense coordinator there, Greg Olson in Carolina when Trudzinski was the offense coordinator there. And now Jordan Cameron becomes the starter there because Ben Watson's gone. They signed two guys. Gary Barnage is one. I believe Kellen Davis is the other. Those two guys are really backup options.
Yeah.
So Jordan Cameron's a guy that's got a lot of potential and not someone you're going to draft, but someone definitely to keep on your radar, because if you get off to a bad start with a Finley, with a Cook, with a Bennett, with a Pettigrew, Gresham, you know, if you're that guy that waits on tight end, or if Gates gets hurt again, or one of those other guys struggle early on, Cameron's a guy that could be a replacement or a bye week guy. You know, so if you're the type of owner in deeper leagues that drafts two tight ends, Cameron could be a guy with a late round pick.
By the way, that duh was really more about their fantasy value, not their NFL value.
Right.
Or, you know, they might be great people.
They might be.
Kellen Davis and Barnage.
They're definitely better dressers than you.
All right. But who picks out your clothes?
Me.
You lie.
Now, here we go.
It's your wife.
No.
It's your liar.
100% me.
Well, fine. You're not that bad. You have two sleepers for 2013.
Yes, just in doing some of our...
Give me the teams. I want to see if I can guess them.
All right. One is the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Good guess.
It's it's the running back. Come on. The guy got hurt last year.
Jeff Demps?
No, the other guy.
Yes, the other guy.
What's his name?
You have to guess.
No, come on. I'm having a blank. I'm blanking here. Oh, that's so annoying. Him. Joe Anderson.
No.
I'm completely drawing a blank here.
Admit that that shirt was horrible. And I'll tell you.
No, I will never, ever. It was a really nice shirt. Who was it? What's his name?
Shane Vereen.
Shane Vereen. Jeez.
You know why Shane Vereen jumped out at me? Do you know what? If you combine his numbers with Danny Woodhead's numbers, because Woodhead is now gone, you know what his numbers would be?
No.
If he played that whole role.
No.
Where he's going to... 1,300 total yards, 14 touchdowns, and 55 catches. Now, clearly, he's not going to do that.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not going to do that. But if you say he's going to get 1,000 total yards, which is not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, Danny Woodhead had 700 yards last year.
Yeah.
And you say he's going to get maybe 10 touchdowns. He's not like he's taken away from Stephen Ridley, because Ridley still had his numbers with these two guys combining for this. But this is what he's capable of. Now, Leon Washington is somebody that they signed. He's going to have a little piece of this. And maybe Jeff Demps, if they could work something out, because Demps is focusing on his track career. Those two guys, along with Brandon Bolden, will also be in the mix here. But Shane Vereen, if you're not excited about Shane Vereen with Danny Woodhead gone, you're missing the boat.
Did he get hurt or did Bolden get hurt?
Bolden is the one that had the suspension.
Suspended.
Yeah, Vereen was hurt to start the season, right. And then he closed the year.
Now, can we talk about baseball so I don't blank on names? Because I'm kind of in baseball mode right now.
Oh, yeah, excuses. Here we go.
And your other sleepers on which team?
St. Louis Rams.
Oh, it's Brandon Gibson.
No, Brandon Gibson plays for the Dolphins now.
It's the other guy, Chris Givens.
Chris Givens, yeah. Yes. Chris Givens.
Jeez. Can we talk about Ryan Braun, please?
In the five games that Danny Amendola missed last year, you know, we talked about this, that Chris Givens really stepped up. He had at least 8 fantasy points in 4 of those 5 games. So clearly he is a guy that Sam Bradford will look at without Amendola there. They're not done with their receiving core. They need to add somebody through the draft, or, you know, if they still sign someone that might be out there. But Chris Givens is somebody, again, that you should also be excited about. Not someone that's going to start for you week in, week out, but a good fourth receiver that you can draft with a late round pick. He can end up being a top 25 guy by the end of the season if Bradford stays healthy and if he stays healthy.
I can name other players in the league. I just want everyone to know that.
Well,
just
those two. The good thing is that you knew who I was talking about.
Yeah. Well, I've been on the podcast before.
Right.
But yeah, well, okay, thank you for making me feel a little bit better about myself. It's email time, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Ryan.
And we'll try to do a little bit more of this between Dave and myself, try to give you, you know, some sleepers. As you know, we've been doing all these outlooks. I think you see on the site, if you're looking, we've been doing these off-season primers, you know, just kind of doing a look at what teams, what they did in 2012 and kind of how they're looking for 2013. And the reason I just brought these up is because I went through and redid a lot of the stuff following the free agent moves for some of those stories. So,
good stuff.
That's where it came up.
All on the site, fantasynews.cbsports.com. You know what else is on the site? Starting Monday, April 1st, noon Eastern time, Fantasy Baseball Today live video show. If you play fantasy baseball, we'll like take your tweets and your calls, and I think there's going to be emails, like all this cool stuff. It's going to be kind of like a radio show. It's going to be fun. Ryan in Texarkana, Arkansas, you are first, and you say, has anyone ever pitched the idea of having a year-round multi-sport fantasy league, something where you have all the major fantasy sports, pick'ems, brackets, etc., and keep up with an overall point standings? Imagine trading Tom Brady for Ryan Braun. That's pretty cool.
I know we mentioned his name quite a bit, but David Gonis, he used to work for CBS Sports.
Why does he? We should just put him on the show.
We should. I think he's got like 15 fantasy or 15 websites that he runs. But he actually did this with some friends, and I know we talked about the idea of doing it on the site somewhere or somehow. It's so hard to manage, though. The draft was fun, but trying to keep up with the year-round, you know, and especially the moves, you know.
Well, how many sports did you do?
I know they did the big three. I don't know if they included hockey, too.
I'd be out.
Yeah, it's like impossible. You know, and even the big three, you know, you're like trading Dwight Howard in the middle of the summer when they're not playing, you know, for a football player coming into the season, you know. So like, you know, Adrian Peterson for Dwight Howard or LeBron for Adrian Peterson, you know, you're talking about trades like that. It's very, very complicated to keep up with, but it's a very fun concept.
Okay, let's say we're doing the big three, right? Okay. And you have the first overall pick. Who do you take?
Depends on the scoring system. It's all standard scoring.
But
so you're saying basically who's the best fantasy
person? But it's all categorical. No points except for football.
Yeah.
So basketball's category, head-to-head categories, and
baseball's
head-to-head categories.
I'd probably go LeBron.
LeBron?
It's hard to get away from that.
He's pretty good, huh? I was watching the game last night. Man. He is just incredible. You don't have to be a basketball fan to appreciate how good LeBron James is.
Yeah, it'd probably be, if you're doing a first round, it'd probably be LeBron 1. It may even be Durant 2, just because he's that good, too. I guess at this point you'd go at Peterson 3.
But you like Peterson ahead of Foster.
4 would probably be Trout.
No, I think Cabrera.
Cabrera 4. Maybe Trout 5.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I like Braun better than Trout.
It's because you're Homer.
No, it's because people are just...
That's because you take steroids.
Well, people think that Braun's going to get suspended, and he's probably not.
Yeah, we have a team that we share. All right, let's move on.
No, but that's interesting. That's fun. Okay, this is Aaron.
By the way, Dave would hate this league.
Dave?
He would completely hate it.
Yeah, he would. Aaron from Fort Worth, Texas. Dear alter egos of Harvey Dent, Oswald Cobblepot, and Waylon Jones. I only know Harvey Dent.
Is Oswald Cobblepot from the Goonies?
Yeah.
Or Chester Cobblepot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll Google.
You're terrible.
Are these all Batman things?
Maybe.
Okay, here's the question. If you have an extra ticket to the Bryan Adams concert, I'm willing to take Adams' place as the youngest in the audience. Okay, we might. Do you really think Amendola will develop chemistry with Brady that fast? It seems like Brady usually takes half to a full season to become familiar with his receivers.
Well, I will counter that statement with 2007, when he inherited Randy Moss and Wes Welker and threw for 50 touchdowns. And Randy Moss set the NFL record for touchdowns in a season. Wes Welker, I believe, had his first of 5 100-catch seasons. So maybe it didn't click until the first half of the season. But that whole season was pretty good numbers-wise. So the key for Amendola, it's going to come down to basically what it's been for the last 3 years. If he could stay healthy, he's going to put up huge stats. He had 66 catches last year, or 63 catches for 600-plus yards and three touchdowns. I don't see the touchdowns doing anything more than doubling at best. So you're talking about six touchdowns for him. But he's going to approach 100 catches. He's going to approach 1,300 yards, and he's going to step into Wes Welker's role pretty seamlessly, in my opinion. It's all going to come down to, can he get you, you know, 16 games? And if he does, I think he's going to be great.
All right, DJ milked it. Oswald Cobblepot is the penguin.
Okay.
And Waylon Jones is a character called the Killer Croc, and also was a basketball player for the Southeast Missouri Redhawks. So, very good. Another Amendola question here from Nick. Oh, there's no way you're going to get this reference. Hello, Rocky, Colt, and Tum Tum.
Yeah, that's the ninjas, right?
Oh, very good. Three ninjas. Mm-hmm. I'm in a 10-team, two-quarterback PPR.
No way.
I've been doubting you today, huh?
That's right.
Wow. Okay. I'm in a 10-team PPR, two-quarterback league with five keepers at no penalty.
Okay.
My potential keepers are as follows. Cam Newton, as well as Andrew Luck, who was a free sixth keeper at no penalty since I did not play him.
That's great.
So he's got Newton and Luck. So he needs four more.
Mm-hmm.
Julio Jones, Hakeem Nicks, Danny Amendola, Trent Richardson, Doug Martin, Matt Forte.
Very easy.
Let me see. You're going Jones, Trent Richardson. You're going Jones and the running backs.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way you go.
He said, I was torn between Forte or Nicks, but with New England's recent acquisition of Amendola, I wonder if Amendola has enough PPR potential to warrant a keeper spot on my team.
I mean, he's great, but you're talking about, first of all, two potential top five picks, certainly two top seven picks, Richardson and Martin. Those are no-brainers. Then, clearly, you're keeping both quarterbacks because Luck is free, and you don't want to get rid of Newton in a 2QB league. It comes down to, you know, and then Jones. You got to keep Jones. He's a top, you know, six or seven receiver, depending on how you want to break down. Do you want to keep Matt Forte or Danny Amendola? I'm going to always lean running back here. I think you could have the potential to draft somebody like Amendola. He says he has the third pick in the draft. I would keep Forte. It gives you such a stranglehold on that position. You know, if you only have to play Matt Forte, you know, until his bye week. And I don't know what the flex situation is, but I would just go with those three running backs. That's a great start to your team.
Brent from a small town in Arkansas. I have a 10-team. Half-point PPR league, 16-player roster. Dynasty league in its second year. I have a pretty good team, but would like more depth at wide receiver. I'm interested in Percy Harvin and was wondering which running back you think would be the best to offer for Harvin. I have Doug Martin, LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles, Stephen Ridley, and Matt Forte. Do you think I can get Harvin for Forte?
I think so. I mean, I would entertain that trade if I was the Percy Harvin owner because, you know, if you're telling me that already off the board are Doug Martin, LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles. Those are three first-round picks. And Stephen Ridley is more in a standard league, a first-round pick. You know, half-point PPR throws a little bit of a wrinkle into things. But, you know, I would think that if you can get Forte for Harvin, that's a trade I think that the Harvin owner should entertain.
Kevin from Upland, California. Upland?
Sure.
Upland. Dear Phil, Allen, and Stu.
As opposed to Upland?
I said Upland.
Oh.
What would you say?
Upland.
Upland. Dear Phil, Allen, and Stu. You know it?
No.
Oh, come on. Hangover.
Oh, sure. Sorry.
Ninjas Kickback. It's the sequel. Here's my problem, be it a great problem to have. I have to choose three guys to keep out of these eight. It's a four-year auction keeper PPR league with bonus points for long touchdowns, 6 points for passing touchdowns, three wide receivers, and a flex.
Dave would call this guy a nerd, probably, this league.
This is pretty intense.
Yeah.
Wow, we're making Dave out to be really mean.
Or just, you know, highlighting Dave's...
Dave would play in a league like this, though.
Dave would play in any league.
Dave's a nerd. The keeper aspect the keeper aspect is after the first year of owning a drafted player, the percentage of the drafted price goes up 15%, then 30%, and then 50% the next 3 years. If a player was picked up off waivers, the price is $10, then $25, and then 70% of the projected value for the third year.
I'm so lost.
This is nerdy. I can only keep one player from each position. So, running backs. Jamal Charles for $29 or Alfred Morris for $10.
It's a PPR league. 10 points. Yeah, I'm going to go Jamaal Charles.
Okay. But even at the price. Do we know what year he's in and keeping them? Because they're going to keep going up, up, up.
Let's assume they're all the same year.
Quarterback and tight end, Matt Ryan for $7, Andrew Luck for $3, Aaron Hernandez for $5.
You going to keep one of those?
I guess.
I'll go Luck for $3 because I think the difference between Luck and Ryan is somewhat close. Although Hernandez for $5 probably is good value.
Oh, you got to go Luck.
Why over Hernandez?
Because Hernandez gets hurt every year. and I mean, it's a dynasty league. I don't know how long you can keep
sure,
him
go
just
luck.
For 4 years. You're
close. Good luck.
Brandon Marshall, $16. Julio Jones, $18. Percy Harvin, $19.
Go Marshall.
Go to Upland, California.
Yes.
Here's Heavy D. Dear Stacy, Jay, and Tony. Not a clue.
No idea.
I plan on drafting running back, wide receiver, running back, quarterback, tight end. My first 7 picks, regardless of where I pick, in a 16-team league that starts 1 quarterback, 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, 1 tight end, and 1 flex. I was thinking of taking Adam's wallet with my tight end selection because it appears to catch everything.
That's great.
Very good. Who should I pick between these options and why? Reggie Bush or Willis McGahee?
I mean, one guy's got the world of potential this year with his move to Detroit, and Willis McGahee, he still may get cut. I wouldn't be surprised if D'Angelo Williams hits the free agent market. That's not the first place he goes just because of his relationship with John Fox. So McGahee is no guarantee to still be the starter in Denver. He was on pace for a career high in catches last year. So PPR, is this a PPR league? It doesn't say. I still think Reggie Bush still has more upside.
David Wilson or Vic Ballard?
This is an interesting one. I go back and forth a little bit with David Wilson the more I think about it, just because I don't know how much he's going to score. And Vic Ballard, under Bruce Arians, who, as we talked about, likes one guy, I don't know if Chuck Pagano and Pep Hamilton are going to follow that same philosophy of one guy and may go back a little bit to a shared situation with Donald Brown and DeLon Carter. I still would, though, if you're asking me today, I would take David Wilson. As we get closer to August, I may get a little bit closer to Vic Ballard. But Wilson, I think, again, if you're looking upside, is the guy you want to target.
Jacoby Jones or Brian Hartline?
Don't love either of these guys. I probably would go neither is going to be a huge volume touchdown guy. Jacoby Jones clearly has the ability to score more, but, you know, really he runs one route. You know, I mean, I know we kind of – I made reference to the comment that Arians made about Mike Wallace. He was the offense coordinator of Pittsburgh, called him one-trick pony. I mean, that's what Jacoby Jones is. You know, he can dance and he can run fairly fast. And if the Denver Broncos don't play defense, he can catch the ball behind their secondary.
He can dance? Was he on Dancing with the Stars or something?
He is right now, yeah.
Oh. Wow. Man, you just got exposed.
You know, because I know what happens to NFL players.
Because you watch Dancing with the Stars.
I have never watched Dancing with the Stars, but I do know that I was staring at NFL Network all morning, and they were, hey, who's on the show this morning, and they were showing highlights of.
Don't believe, not buying it.
Okay,
I don't think anybody believes you.
The only thing that distracted me from the television was that horrendous shirt you wore yesterday. I probably lean toward Brian Hartline, but I don't really love either of these two guys.
Greg Olsen, Dennis Pitta, or Adam's wallet?
I like Pitta. I think there's more opportunity there for him. We saw what he was capable of last year, and without Anquan Boldin there, I think those third down throws are going to go a lot in his direction.
Stafford or Luck?
Stafford.
Reggie Wayne or Larry Fitzgerald?
That's a tough one. Let's assume that Larry Fitzgerald has Drew Stanton as his quarterback, then it's Reggie Wayne. If he gets Carson Palmer, may have to revisit that, but Reggie Wayne, I think, proved himself last year. And he scored more touchdowns, but the rapport he has with Andrew Luck right now is pretty good.
Casey in Roseville says, hey, fantasy pepperoni, sausage, and cheese.
I think that's pizza.
I'll Google it.
Okay.
Draft strategy question. 10-team PPR league, standard lineups, keep up to 4. I'm keeping Harvin in the 6th round, Russell Wilson in the 11th, Alfred Morris in the 12th, and Randall Cobb in the 13th.
That's pretty good.
Even though this is a keeper league, most of the studs are still available because of a 2-round penalty on keepers. So I have 4 of the first 13 picks in next year's draft, and then no more picks until round 5.
Okay.
My plan is to lock up the rest of my starters with these picks. I should end up with something like Calvin, McCoy, and Gronk or Graham with my first 3 picks. My question is, With my fourth pick, should I get a stud quarterback or should I pick up what would be a third running back, like Chris Johnson or Steven Jackson, and roll with Russell Wilson as my starting quarterback all year?
Well, I probably would go that route because Russell Wilson is a top 10 quarterback coming into the year right now, especially with the addition of Harvin. So if you tell me you can have Russell Wilson, Alfred Morris, LaShawn McCoy, Calvin Johnson, Percy Harvin, Randall Cobb, and Gronk or Graham, I think if you can get Steven Jackson as your third running back, that makes your team pretty complete.
I like it, Jamie.
Do you?
It's good stuff.
Yeah, buddy.
Short show today.
Short show today. How long was it?
30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Get up to 31.
There's a good movie called 30 Minutes or Less.
Who's in that? That's the one with Aziz.
That's right. Aziz Azari is in the movie.
Danny McBride. And the guy from The Third Naked Gun.
The guy from The Third Naked Gun.
Yeah, he's the criminal in The Third Naked Gun who's breaking out of prison. He plays the father, the crazy father.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for your time. That's Jamie Eisberg. I'm Adam Azer. We're back next week. Send us your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please put podcast in the subject line.
When should we start talking draft? Should we start talking NFL draft just to get a little tease?
Well, we'll be in April, so why not?
Dave will love it.
Yeah. That nerd. See you later, everybody.
Bye.